Good morning to all of you. It's good to be with you. In the journey through John's Gospel, we're in chapter 14. And I'm going to read the passage from verses 1 to 24. John's Gospel, chapter 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really know me, you will know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you such a long time. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the works themselves. Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and keeps them is the one who loves me. The one who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus replied, Anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. Tranquil words for troubled hearts. It's hard to imagine the atmosphere there must have been in the upper room when Jesus met with his disciples. A dark foreboding, fear, trouble, questions. And it seemed to the disciples that in their troubled hearts, somehow Jesus' heart had been troubled even more. He spoke about death, spoke about the cross. Perhaps there were tears in that upper room. It's almost been recently, hasn't it, a kind of period of tears. In the House of Commons, the tennis courts, on the football pitches, added to those ongoing tears in so many countries around the world. Troubled hearts. Perhaps too we would describe it to some degree this morning that our hearts are troubled. There may be many good things that we're enjoying of blessing, but there are also those things that trouble us. In our own lives, in our families, in our church and amongst our friends, and how the world impinges upon our feelings and thoughts. Jesus simply looks to those disciples, saddened by their troubled hearts, and grappling with his own troubled heart, and says these words, "Do not let your hearts be troubled." And he seeks to help those disciples to move from troubled hearts to tranquil words, to encourage them and help them to face what lay ahead. And the same Jesus is with us this morning. He wants to come to every aspect of our lives, but I believe particularly this morning, aspects of troubled hearts, that we will hear with new power and meaning these simple and yet profound words. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." And as Jesus shares with them and answers their questions in this passage, so he points to ways in which we can make that transition from troubled hearts to tranquil words. He speaks about the Father's house. There is that eternal dimension that changes our attitude towards the troubles of the present and the immediate future. And they seem all surrounding, all powerful. They monopolize perhaps our thinking. They impinge perhaps on our sleeping and trouble us even in the night. But Jesus says there is a dimension that goes beyond life on earth. There is a Father's house. And he makes this promise to his disciples then, as he makes it anew this morning to us, his disciples now, that he has gone to prepare a place for us. And if that is true, then he will come again and receive us and take us to that place. And perhaps we question and wonder what it means about a Father's house. What are these many rooms? What room might I have? Will it have a good view or not? And Jesus, I think, would simply say, "Trust. Trust me. If I am preparing the place, it's a place you can trust in, a place you'll enjoy, a place of joy and blessing, a place of eternity." And he says you can know the way. And Thomas, perhaps voicing what we might feel, "But Jesus, we hardly know where you're going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus responds with perhaps one of the most famous verses from the Bible. We see it sometimes, don't we, on sports people's shirts or on boards proclaiming it. Jesus answers, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In his interaction with Thomas and then with Philip, he says, this is not just words. This is not just, as it were, a sat nav or a route map. "I am the way. I am with you," as it were, in the car directing you. "I'm with you in your journey. I'm with you through the journey of life until you arrive in that place I have prepared for you. It's relationship. I am the way, the truth, and the life. The Father's house, and then the Father's identity. Who is this Father? The disciples, of course, came out of a Jewish background when the concept of God as Father was not particularly strong. A holy God, a God of fire, a God of judgment, a distant God that somehow you could make your way through all the rituals that we read of in the Old Testament. But Jesus says the identity of this God is Father, the one who loves you, the one who cares for you, the one who wants the best for you. If you come to know this identity of God as Father, if you know it and see it, if you believe it, then you can live it out and do it. And then Jesus speaks about the Father's words and works. The disciples are still struggling with this. Almost exasperation from Philip, show us the Father. Jesus is concerned that they're not getting it. And he says, well, if you can't believe it through the words that I give you, believe it through the words and works that you have seen. Have you been so long with me, Philip, that you have not seen me and through me seen the Father? Jesus draws this very close relationship between him and the Father. What God says, Jesus says. What God was doing, Jesus was doing. As Jesus put it, I and the Father are one. And it's a tension that we need to hold because we speak about God, don't we, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And perhaps in our minds to understand that, we almost divide God up. God the Father in heaven, God the Creator, the powerful one. Jesus the one who came to earth and spoke. We encounter through the record of his life, death and resurrection. The Holy Spirit, God now with us in our daily lives. And that sometimes can be helpful to think of those aspects of God. But in doing that, we must not lose the unity of one God. And this passage speaks about Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And we can come back through the record of Scripture in the Gospels to the words and the works of Jesus, and to believe through that record. But we also have the words and the works of Jesus in our own day. The experiences we've had, the things we've seen in our own lives and in the lives of others, things we're hearing about what God is at work doing in the world in our day. And these words of Jesus about greater things, I believe, points to the outspread that started on the day of Pentecost to thousands. So the church was established and spread throughout the Roman Empire and later through the world. A couple of weeks ago, Eunice and I were on holiday in Northumbria and we went to Holy Island, Lindisfarne. And they just had that sense of this was the place that Christianity first came to our country. Spread through it. Later, others coming up through Canterbury and meeting together in the centre of our land. So Christianity came to here. And in 1400 years since, it spread through each generation to today. Greater works, Jesus doing them, but doing them through his people, through his church, in his world. And then Jesus says to his disciples, I know you're troubled. I know you don't understand this now, but you will later. I'm leaving, but I am coming back. Through my death, resurrection, there will be an ascension when I go back to be with the Father, but I will return through the sending of the Spirit of truth, who will be with you, and returning one day in glory to receive you and take you to that place in heaven. And I'm going to leave, he says, a heavenly friend. Jesus was confined to one place, one time when he was here on earth. Confined to a group of disciples, to, yes, crowds, but in terms of world population, just a few people. But by sending the Holy Spirit, his presence came to the whole world. Today, as we worship here, millions across the world are worshipping the same Jesus, the same God, and knowing that heavenly friend, that counselor who Jesus promised would come. And Jesus promised an indwelling God. Not a God, if I can use the football analogy, who's in the stand shouting, "It's so simple, do this and you'll score." Or on the touchline with the exasperation of a manager, perhaps. No, Jesus, as it were, puts on the kit and comes onto the pitch and works alongside us through the Holy Spirit. He is a God in us, a God with us, a God who works through us. And as we know that God within us by the Holy Spirit, we can speak and live out God's purposes in our lives and through our lives in the lives of others. If we this morning have come with troubled hearts, let's receive anew these tranquil words of Jesus. Let's rejoice that there is an eternal dimension, that one day we will have that room in the Father's house. A Father God who is both God and Father, who loves us and cares for us and is with us, who has spoken and acted in our own generation as well as through history. A Saviour who left but will come back and sent the Holy Spirit, a heavenly friend, an indwelling God. Let us rejoice in all that God says. Let us just think for a moment as we close this talk about what it means and what we do in response to it. What it means for today and for our lives this week. What medicine, what cure is there for troubled hearts? To dispel fear, we meditate on truth. To reduce anxiety, we allow divine truth to guide every decision. To release shame, we choose to love Christ and serve his body, the church. We are going to heaven. Personal faith in a personal Lord brings personal relief. Our long-term future is secure. We know the Father right now. The sovereign hand of God is at work in every believer's life. We have the privilege of prayer, in faith, in Christ's name, in love and obedience. Great results when we pray in Jesus' name for God's glory. We have the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Spirit that Jesus gave. We are not alone. we have an indwelling helper. And we enjoy the Father's love, inseparably linked to Christ by his Spirit. Let's pray together. Thank you, Jesus, that in your great love, you took time when your heart was troubled to bring to your disciples these tranquil words, not to be troubled, but to believe in God and in you. Help us this morning to take these words. Help us through this coming week when we face troubles, questions and difficulties, to live by these words and to know your indwelling presence by your Holy Spirit. Amen.